Two reasons why I'm excited today. First of all, in spite of the fact that this world is in a bad way, still a lot of darkness in this world, but God is still in control. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that's a reason to be excited. Secondly, I'm excited because, you know, we don't always cross every T or dot every I, but in spite of that, God is still speaking to us. So there's a word coming from the Lord today. Amen. And then thirdly, I'm excited because certainly you all have free will choice. You could have stayed home. You could have stayed in your campers, trailers, wherever you resided last night and decided not to come out here today to service. But you chose to come out to give God some glory, and because you believe that the Lord is in control and knows what's around the corner. So give yourselves a hand clap of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. I've been doing a series here on the family and training up children and what the family looks like, and the fact that God is an architect, that he is a builder, and unless the Lord builds a house, they who labor in vain. We've been camping out in Psalm 127. I want to finish that psalm up this morning. I want to look at verses 3 through 5 in Psalm 127. I'm not sure what page that is, Brother Kevin.
Page 479 in the church Bible.
Page 479, amen. And so if you would turn there, it's so important that no matter who's preaching in the pulpit, who's sharing God's word with you, that you should always, I encourage you to open up the Bible and to follow along and make sure that the word of God is being read and that's what's being preached, amen. Certainly we know there's a lot of false teaching out there today, a lot of misleading, even in the house of God. So we want to make sure that we're receiving sound doctrine.
Amen.
In Psalm 127, beginning at verse 3, it says, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." Verse 4 says, "Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth." Verse 5 reads, "How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed," excuse me, "when they speak with their enemies in the gate." Amen. I want to talk on subjects for a little while as we continue this subject about family and about children. I want to talk about the proper sense of values. The proper sense of values in verses 3 through 5. Let us pray. Father, forgive us for all of our sins. We thank you for an opportunity to be here in your house. We ask, Lord God, that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And dear God, I ask that you would touch a little on me. Pray that you would give me a supernatural amount of strength and energy, miraculous amount of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Oh God, please allow me to speak with clarity and with simplicity in such a way that even a little child might be able to understand. Having done so, God, we give your name glory, honor, and praise in advance, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. In verses 1 and 2, we talked about the Lord building a house as an architect. And that we said that the house here is symbolic to families. That unless God is the builder, the architect of families, the family will never be erected in a way that it can be successful in the eyesight of God. He has to be the architect. In other words, God is the one who draws up the plans, the blueprints. But he doesn't just draw them up. God is also the builder. He is the one who builds the family. We have to be the ones who will allow him to build the way that he wants to. Okay. And then we came back and we talked about trusting God with our family, trusting him with our family. When we trust God with our family, when we place our family in God's hands, we said that even when we haven't done a good job leading up to that, that God is being a creator. He can fix families. He can repair families. He can get us to where we need to be. But one of the things that God has dropped in my spirit here recently is that we're lacking this thing called values when it comes to families. And when I say values when it comes to families, my brothers and my sisters, there's not this expense. There's not this importance. There's not this priority that's placed on families like it is on houses, like it is on careers, like it is on finances, like it is on positions, like it is on politics, like it is on all these things that we see in the world, on vacations. The values are not being placed, I believe, from what I'm seeing, on children's and family units. As a matter of fact, if we would be honest with ourselves, we really do live in dark times. Can I get an amen on that? We really do live in dark times. And one would say it's not as easy to raise and rear children in society today as it was years ago. As a matter of fact, I remember growing up as a kid when my fun and excitement time was to go out in the backyard with a kickball, or to get on a dirt bike and go out in the fields and ride around through the woods, and we had a great time. And now if you were to say to children, go out in the yard and play with a kickball, they look at you like you were crazy, because there's nothing electrical in a kickball. There is no electronics in kickball. And so today our children are raised differently. There's different things in society today. But in this context of scripture, the psalmist is trying to get us to understand a proper sense of values. The psalmist is trying to get us to see the importance of children, the importance of children. As a matter of fact, if we think about it just for a second, how did we become adults? How did we become grandparents, great grandparents? How did we become parents? Because somebody gave birth to us. Somebody raised us up. Somebody reared us. Somebody prayed for us. Somebody set an example for us. Somebody saw that raising children and having children were a blessing. And that's how we got here today. Now I want to say this. In spite of the fact that somebody did that for us, we didn't always make them proud in all of our choices and decisions as growing up as children. But they looked past our faults and they saw our needs. And so in our society today, my brothers and my sisters, the first thing I want to talk about here is that children are our heritage. We have to look at children as being a heritage in society, because it's not just about children in our houses. But remember, a community is not made up of just one house. And so what's happening with the children in other houses in the community has an impact on our community. So children are a heritage. We're going to deal with three H's this morning. First of all, I want you to see that they are an heritage. The scripture says, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Right there, it teaches us about heritage. Because my brothers and my sisters, today there's a trend, even among Christians, to refrain from having children. It is a major topic in the news about having children or not having children. Most people feel like children are not looked upon as a blessing, but as a burden. Nowadays, so many people have heart-rending problems with rebellious children that some are suggesting that it might just as well be easier to refrain from having children at all. After all, why spend one's life, one's strength, money, and emotions bringing up children only to have them repay it all with defiance? To have them disobey themselves, or rather to trample one's ideas, spurn the living God, involve themselves in drugs or open sin, the chances again, seeing one's children avoid all the terrible pitfalls set for them by society today are so slim that increasing numbers of people are concluding that it is better to not have children at all. Well, my brothers and my sisters, the environment may be true that I just described, but what about the environment that was taking place when Moses was born? When Jochebed and Moses' father had the responsibility of raising him and rearing him, it was during a time when a decree had been written that all male children were to be put to death. But because of their faith and trust in God, because of their belief that if God would allow them to conceive, then God would also allow them to raise up and to bring that child into the fruition of the Lord. As a matter of fact, that very child is the very child that God would use to lead the Israelites out of bondage. So the encouraging message today is that any child that is conceived, sometimes we may have the mentality that there's no way that that child's going to be in a good place. There's no way that child's going to be successful. There's no way that child's going to be happy. No way that child's going to make it. But we forget about the power of God. And the fact that God is always watching over us. If I were to tell you what the conditions were like when I was born, when I grew up in the house that I grew up in, what it was like, my neighbors didn't think I was going to make it, but look at me now. Because of the God whom we serve. This is not a message that encourages people to just have babies, but it's a message to encourage people that children are a gift from God. Because God chose, watch this, when mankind was first created, he was created a full-grown man. But God's plan was that children would be conceived and be trained up in the admonition of the Lord. Because the thing that God wants to teach us is that when we go through the process that God has set and etched in the concrete, into the scriptures, it reveals the not only the power of God, but it reveals the sovereignty of God. It, when we look at children, how they go from being in the womb to where they're in college or where they are working for a major corporation, every time we look at a grown adult, we ought to see the power of God. We ought to see the sovereignty of God. We ought to see the mighty workings of God. Because everybody has a story. Everybody's been through something. And in society, we've got to get back to looking at children as being gifts from God and inheritance from the Lord. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. The psalmist is saying, hey, children are vital. We didn't become who we are apart from being children. And though the odds may have been stacked against us, here we are today in God's house. With a mindset to love each other, to give God glory, and to praise him. And not only that, what about Samson? Look in the days of Samson when people were living and doing things that were pleasing in their own eyesight. Suppose Samson's parents had decided society's too jacked up. There's no way we're going to raise children, no way we're going to bring them into society. Their problems, their issues. Samson would not have been able to lead God's people the way that he did. The list goes on and on and on. What about Noah in the days of Noah? People were sinning continuously. Suppose Noah's parents would have said, we're not bringing children into this society. But God says, that's how I bless this world is through babies. Through them being trained up by responsible parents. And encouraged and taught the word of God. And taught that you will make a difference in society. I worked in education, public education for years. And I saw so many kids come through who were so discouraged. Who felt they could never be a doctor. They could never be a lawyer. They could never be a scientist. Because in those kids' lives, it had been instilled in them that they were just another number. So children are a heritage. Look with me in verse 4. I want you to see that they also are our helpers. Our helpers. And people may be thinking when we get to this word helpers that I can't seem to get my kids to do anything. They don't help me very much. As a matter of fact, many parents have come to the conclusion that all my kids have done is cost me. They've not helped me. There's something here in the context that we need to understand. The Bible says that children are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. And it says, so are the children of one's youth. Here it is. Arrows in the hand of a mighty man are arrows that he intends to use and use effectively. When we get to the point to where children and grandchildren are tools that God has put in our hands that we intend to use and use effectively, then it says, we got to see that those arrows are going to go where the skilled mighty man wants them to go, and those arrows are going to do what the skilled mighty man wants them to do. But not everyone can make arrows do what they want, which means not everyone can make children do what they want. The ability to direct an arrow so that it accomplishes what the mighty man has in mind assumes quite a number of things, not least of which is discipline on the part of the mighty man. Before he can discipline his arrows, he's got to discipline himself. I say that to say this, before children can become successful spiritual tools in our hands, we must first ourselves become successful and spiritual. Well, my brothers and my sisters, the mighty man of war must learn how to direct arrows, and his parents, we must learn how to direct children. He must master the art of archery. He's got to learn how to bend a bow, how to take aim, how to judge distance, direction, the strength and quarter of the wind. He's got to learn how to draw back the string, how to keep his eye on the target. But then too, he must know how to fashion arrows. They must be made straight. He's not going to hit the target with bent and crooked arrows. In other words, we'll never hit the target that God has set for us with bent and crooked children. And so what the psalmist is saying here is that when it comes to children, that some of them are bent and crooked because we were bent and crooked. And it's saying that we have to be careful what we produce, my brothers and my sisters. I remember talking to my son about some things that he had going on in his life, and I looked him in the eye, and with tears in my eyes, I said, you got it honestly. And today he reminds me, he said, Dad, he said, I'll never forget the day when you sat me down and you talked to me and you told me that some of the things that I was struggling with, that I got it honestly. He said, Dad, it made so much sense. And he said, I really respect you, and I really appreciate you being honest enough to admit that some things that I got from you. Now, was that easy? No. But it was honest. And it helped him. And what the psalmist is saying is that when God blesses us with children and grandchildren, he gives them to us as tools, as blessings in our lives. I remember going into a preacher study once, and I was sitting on the sofa, and he had been pastoring for like 50 something years, and I felt like a little kid in the office. So I was just real quiet. I was real nervous. And there was a sign on the wall that said, we are God's gift to each other. And what we do with ourselves is our gift back to God. So God has given us to each other. And what we do with each other is our gift to God. So the question is, what type of gift do you want to give back to God? And here it is in a nutshell. We are all born in sin and shapen in iniquity, which means the reality is that our children are born separated from God. Did you know that? We were all born separated from God because of the sin in the garden. We were all born with Adam's sin nature, separated from God. And when God gives us children and grandchildren, he says, this is your responsibility to train them up and lead them back to me. And when they come back to me, God says, I'm expecting somebody successful and somebody spiritual. And God says, it's on you. And this is what the psalmist realizes here, saints. So then two, we have to know how to fashion children. We have to know how to make them straight. Because they're not going to hit the target in their lives unless we teach them how to hit the target, unless we become successful and experienced in training them up. Children who turn out well are not the product of haphazard home life. Bringing up our children is the single most important task that we have in life. Far more important than excelling in as a biochemist, a pathologist, or even a professor of economics. We need to study child raising. We need to study our children. We need to learn their personalities. We need to understand them. And in order to do that, we've got to get the instructions from the builder of the house, who is God. And when we do that, my brothers and my sisters, our children will grow up to be our helpers. They will help us accomplish our goals in life, and we will help them discover their own place in God's plan. As a matter of fact, if you don't believe me, just keep living. Because if they're not trained up correctly, when we get old and we need somebody to take care of us and we are struggling, if we have not trained them up correctly, it will only come back to haunt us. As a matter of fact, I thank God because I have four children. My son's turning 29. My oldest daughter's 26. My middle daughter's turning 20 this month. My youngest daughter's 18. And Brother Kevin, they're already making plans for me when I get older. They said, here's the plan. They're like, okay, Dad is going to live with each one of us in 3-month increments. And then they said, and during those 3 months, he's going to spend 1 weekend out of each month with each one of us. And I said, God, you are just awesome. I mean, I'm 53 years old. I have my health and strength. I get around great. I got my right mind. But who knows what tomorrow holds? Just talking to moms on yesterday, having a conversation, and she and I were talking about how this afternoon is not promised to us. We don't know what's going to happen. And she gets a phone call, and her brother basically died while we were having the conversation. And so what the psalmist is teaching is that children will be our helper, is that when we get older, never forget this sentence, as we get older, we're going to need their assistance. My dad used to say to me, he says, son, you are once an adult, but twice a child. And I could never figure that out. And I would say, how is that, Dad? How am I twice a child? He would say, you're a child growing up and your parents have to take care of you. He said, but if you live long enough, if you get old enough, somebody's going to have to take care of you again. And then he says, thirdly, there are heritage, there are helpers, and he says, and they are our happiness. Our happiness. Watch this. It says, how blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. The word happy here is, the word happy here is the word blessed in some translation. Literally, the expression is happy, happy is the man. The parents who have many children have many happinesses. Do you not know today, saints, that if you see a family that has more than 2 or 3 kids, people stare and they come to the conclusion, what in the world do they want with all them kids? That's some people's mindset. People feel that having a bunch of kids is not a good thing. And then they want to know, how in the world can they afford to take care of all those kids? We serve a God who sits high and looks low, and he makes sure that children are taken care of. David said, I once was young, but now I'm old. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants or his seed begging bread. And so the psalmist is saying here, saints, the kids are our happiness. The parents who have many children have many happinesses. Jesse was such a man. Can you imagine having a son like David? Happy, happy was Jesse down there on the farm. And when the prophet Samuel appeared with the news that Israel's next king was to be chosen from among Jesse's sons, Jesse would have said, well, you got plenty to choose from here. And what a handsome, strapping, impressive group of sons he was able to parade before the prophet. And as each one, big, burly, and commanding, stood before the prophet, he said, Samuel said, surely this is the one. Surely this is the one. None of them were the one, but he said they all have the potential of being the one. Can you imagine how happy that made Jesse? That God has sent somebody here to use one of my boys. And when I look at my children, now that they're all grown, I just think about what they're doing in society. And you know what? They bring me happiness. And I believe that the thing that God is teaching us, saints, is that if we have children or grandchildren, if they're still alive, it's not too late to put them in God's hands. It's not too late to let God start building in them. But remember, before God can build in them, we need to let God do some building in us. God is a repairer. Any house that's broken, that has shifted, God can straighten it up. And when we get back to raising and rearing and training up our children in the admonition of the Lord, they will, my brothers and my sisters, be helpers to us. My son calls me all the time. He asks me, do I need anything? And I tell him, no, just prayer. And I tell him, son, what makes me happy is the fact that you and your siblings are all close, that you encourage each other, that you love each other, that you can be honest with each other. And that when one gets out of line, when one is wrong, you love them enough to say, no, you're wrong. And I always tell them, the happiest point of my life is when all four of my children are together in the same place. And I see them laughing. And I see them getting along. It's a blessing. They're my heritage. They're my helpers. And they're my happiness. There's nothing more important to me than family. And saints, when we get that mentality in each household, then there will be nothing more important to all of us as a whole than communities. That's when we'll become strong communities. That's when crime rates will go down. That's when church attendance will rise. And that's when the Lord will come back and get us. One last thing I want to say to you before I go. And that is, imagine being the father or the mother of Joseph. I say that because maybe some parent that might listen to this message in the future might have a child that might be in jail or in prison. Joseph was in prison. But look at what God did with Joseph's life. He brought him out. He became second in command over all of Egypt. And it was the gift of Joseph who saved the lives of the world. Because everybody had to go to Egypt to get food. So that parent that might tune in and hear this message in the future, don't give up on your child that has made a bad choice. Joseph didn't make a bad choice. He was falsely accused. So don't give up on that child, because God can use them wherever they are. What about Daniel? We talked about Moses. We talked about Noah. Pray for our children, saints. Never give up on our children. God is a builder. He's an architect. And he can still repair them no matter where they are. And never forget, whatever repairs that God needs to make in us as parents or grandparents, let God make those repairs. Because when certain repairs are made in us, then we'll be able to see clearly how to make the repairs in them. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Perhaps there's someone here who's never been born again. I take it everyone has received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. I know that everyone's been here before. So we thank God for salvation. We thank God for you all being the parents, the grandparents that you are. It is obvious that you love your children, that you train them up, that you're making a difference, that you're praying for them and other people's children. Keep doing that, saints. Our society needs that. The world needs us as Christians to understand what God wants. And when the doors open, to share with the world what God wants and to encourage. We don't just have the responsibility of praying for our children. We have the responsibility of praying for all children. We have the responsibility of not just being role models and examples to our children, but to all children. And anytime we have an opportunity, let's try to make a difference in some child's life. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. At this time, we prepare our hearts for and our minds for Holy Communion. We receive our instructions from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 and 30, where the Apostle Paul says, as I received from the Lord Jesus Christ, so give I unto thee. And he says, when you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, do not eat or drink unworthily for the Lord, for you eat and drink damnation to yourself. He says, make sure you examine yourself to see if you're in the Lord. And he talked about the fact that many people did not take this seriously. And he said, for they caused many were weak and sickly among him, and many did sleep. In other words, people even died. People were coming together. They were eating just so they get their bellies full. And it was not because of what it symbolized. It commemorates his love, his suffering, and his death on Calvary's cross. It is a constant reminder to us that we have the forgiveness of sins. Amen? Hallelujah. And this is why we do this. He said, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. So we do this in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for our sins. It's not a time of sadness. It's really a time of rejoicing. Amen? Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this opportune time. We thank you for instituting the Lord's Supper. We pray, dear God, that you would forgive us for all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We ask, Father God, that you would bless the bread that is symbolic to your body that was battered and bruised, and bless the juice that is symbolic to your blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. Again, Father, we do this in remembrance of you. We know that it commemorates your love, your suffering, and your death on the cross. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
some sang, some said. I just like to do it in unison. So if we stand, let's all stand. Amen. Are we prepared to eat and drink together? Do that one. That's all right, take your time. The key is to get that top plastic open first, and then the aluminum will follow. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.